Good morning and welcome. So good to have you joining us via live stream this morning, Grace Baptist Church. And we pray you're doing well. We're going to begin our service this morning in number one in our songbook, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. We'll have the words for you on the screen. If you know the song, sing along with it. Don't be afraid. You're at home. No one can hear you. Sing along with us.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear.
That we just sang, my great physician heals the sick. And of course, we're asking the Lord to really jump in and help us in this area. Of course, new avenues and new areas for all of us experiencing this coronavirus. And we're asking you to continue to pray for one another, pray for our church, pray for our neighbors, pray for our community, pray for our state, pray for our country, pray for our world. So many to be praying for. And I really believe that at this time, not only does God have our attention, but God has the attention of the world. And what an opportunity we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. And so I challenge you to be in prayer, be in contact with your neighbors, be in contact with church members. If the Lord brings someone to your mind, reach out to them, call them, text them, tweet them, do something that involves reaching out and finding out how they are. And we can make a difference in this generation, in this time, in this seeming tragedy for our country and our world, but God knows what's in store. It hadn't caught him off guard. He knows exactly what's going on. So please be in prayer for those things. We had two funerals yesterday, so please be in prayer for the Bonnie Hayworth family, as well be in prayer for the Mike Green family, but wonderful services, just two wonderful godly ladies that the love of God was so evident in their lives, and they will truly be missed. But as you can imagine, difficult times to have funerals these days, these upcoming days as well. So be in prayer, and just lots of needs in our church family. And I just encourage you, be faithful in all those things that you normally do. Don't let up in any of those areas. And we'll have some more announcements during the service to give you some ways that you can continue to be faithful in your in the different areas of ministry. But let's go to the Lord in prayer now and ask him to bless this time. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to come before you this morning, and we ask you to be in the service in a special way. I think of the many homes that we'll be reaching into via live stream. I pray that you'd help them and meet the needs there, Lord. I know there's a lot of unknowns, and Father, fear spreads a lot faster than even this virus, and I pray that you would not allow that to happen. I thank you that you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And so I pray that you'd help us to walk in faith. Even as our theme is this year, we walk by faith and not by sight, Lord, and that's exactly what's happening now. So I pray you'd be with each and every one of our church members today, those that are going through various trials, surgeries, recoveries, therapies. Think of the two families, the Green family and the Hayworth family. I pray you'd meet the special needs there. Again, thank you for lives well lived in both of those ladies. I pray that, again, you'd just be with this service at this time, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ellie and Ann are going to play for us now a very familiar song to you, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. And I just wanted to read a couple verses of that before they play. Praise ye the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Verse 2 says, Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigns. Shelter thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? God is in control. Ladies, play for us.
Thank you so much for that special. It's great to have Ann and Ellie home, at least for the time being. I know Mom and Dad are saying that at least. Of course, not too much longer. Ellie's going to be no longer a Smith. Yes. Going to move on and take on a different name. We're excited for them and what God has in store. Again, we want to welcome you. We're taking on a new name this morning, if you haven't figured it out already. We want to welcome you to Bedside Baptist Church. Of course, you've already heard from Pastor Sheets over here. I am Pastor Comforter, and then here in a moment, you'll meet Pastor Breakfast as well. Our aim is to give you warm and fuzzy feelings this morning, and I trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. If you are on a mobile device, you may be able to look down at the bottom of that first page or homepage on the website. In the left corner, you're going to find our verse for the week. We as a congregation have been memorizing 1 John, and we've made it into chapter 2, and we've learned all the way through verse 10. If not, go ahead, pull out your Bibles, 1 John 2:11. I'm going to go ahead, I'll quote the verse, just kind of give you a brief synopsis here, and then we'll say it together, us, for those that are meeting here in the auditorium, and then for you at home, you can say it together as a family. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Of course, we had this continuation of the topic of love that John so succinctly discusses throughout this entire book, and really even into the next two books, 2 John and 3 John. The difference, what he's saying here, between a believer and an unbeliever is that difference between love and hate. See, someone who is continuing to hate his brother or sister is someone who is continuing to walk in darkness, as this verse says. In other words, if your desire is even to remove people because they're different than you, rather than minister to their needs, rather than to restore them to the fellowship, restore them to the fold, you're walking in darkness. So I want you to keep that thought in mind as we say this together. Once again, those of us that are here in the auditorium versus you guys at home, say it together with me as a family. We'll do the, as we always do, the reference, the verse, and the reference. 1 John 2:11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John 2:11. And I trust this week, especially with the extra time that you have, maybe catch up. If you haven't memorized all of the first chapter yet, going into that second chapter, maybe take this as a time to go back, to encourage one another, keep each other accountable in this particular aspect. As usual, we go through some announcements. I'm going to give you just a few things. If you weren't able to catch the slides, the preliminaries before the service started, a few things I want to just draw to your attention. If you have not been receiving email communications from the church office, first thing I want you to do is email gracebaptist@gbcwc.org. That is Sarah, our office secretary's email. Make sure you send her your contact information, your email address, so we can add you to the list and make sure you're getting the most recent communications. Once again, that's Grace Baptist, our church name, at gbcwc. Hopefully you figured out that's Grace Baptist Church, West Columbia.org, and that'll make sure that we get you added. If for whatever reason you don't have an email, maybe reach out, call her in the office. We'd be happy to give you a personal phone call. We've already made together a list of some of our shut-ins and people that don't use that method of communication, just to make sure we're keeping in touch with them as well. Really a blessing in many ways. Several of you have asked about tithing. What should we do as far as tithing in the meantime? Of course, we will always accept a check in the mail. That's probably the easiest method for you to get your tithes to the church. Make sure you put an attention to Debbie Greer so it goes straight to her. No one else is opening your mail in the meantime, and that way it's still just as discreet as it always is. But feel free, mail it in, Debbie Greer. Of course, our address, 416 Denham Avenue, West Columbia, South Carolina, 29169. Maybe even if you've been blessed by the service and you're not around us and you just want to be a blessing that method, of course, we'll be happy to accept that in the meantime. Another option is for you to check with your bank. Many banks offer a free or a very minimal or low-cost option called online bill pay. You could contact them, let them know when and how much you'd like to send money to Grace Baptist Church. They'll be happy to set that up for you. So that'd be another method. Of course, one that's not as ideal, but if you're not comfortable with either of those, feel free, just on your own, swing by the church. The office is still open at this point, and you can drop off that personal check or cash or whatever the case may be. Just knock on the office doors. That's over here by the nursery building. If you're not used to coming in that way, by the nursery building, you'll see the side door. Knock on that door, and someone will be sure to let you in to make that tithe payment. Also, just want to mention, Wednesday night, we are going to have a live stream this week, 7 o'clock. Pastor Dave is going to continue his series through Psalm 23. Trust you can be with us that 7 o'clock time frame. The teens are actually going to meet at 6:45. They're going to use a different method of communication as well. They're going to use Facebook Live. So teens, 6:45 on Facebook, you'll follow your group page, GT, which stands for Grace Teens. And for the regular church members that typically come to this service, or Awana workers, we invite you to join us right here on our website again at 7 o'clock. That'll be a live stream with Pastor Dave. So that's the announcements we have for this morning. We got one more special before we dive into our challenge or opening of God's Word. Pastor Chris, his wife Joy, and Miss Renee are coming to sing The Master of the Wind.
I know the master. master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found.
An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, bring me low but never brings me down. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind.
Amen. Once again, we thank you so much for that blessing and song. Truly a wonderful reminder for us at this time. I do thank you so much for allowing us to come into your home this morning, for being a part of the service with us. I trust it'll be a special blessing, hopefully an encouragement to you. There's so much that I know any one of us, pastors, leaders, even Ed Earwood, would love to say during this time. Of course, we do have a limited window. And so for me personally, I just was prayerfully asking God what he would have me say to you folks this morning, just something that would be an encouragement, be a blessing, more importantly, come from his word and not my own. Of course, I'd love to extend my own encouragement. Just want you to know that we as pastors are daily spending time in prayer for each and every one of you. We're just praying that God uses this time to grow each and every one of us. God, sometimes as he does in the ninth hour, gives us what we need, and I think that's the case even for me this morning as I was praying about what God would have me preach. My initial plan was to continue on in 1 John chapter 2, just with our memorization schedule, but God really redirected my heart to the book of Job. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Job. Our main emphasis, our main thoughts outline for this morning is going to come from chapter 42, but we're going to start in chapter 38. So if you have your Bibles, whether that's a digital Bible, maybe a family Bible, whatever the case may be, turn your Bibles to Job chapter 38, and we're going to learn some principles from the book of Job this morning. As you're turning, I'm going to go ahead and open up and ask God would just take the remainder of this time and use it in a great and mighty way. Father, we're so thankful for your continual working in our lives. We're so thankful for those of us that have made a possession of the faith. Lord, we've received that gift of eternal life. Lord, our eyes have been opened. We're so thankful for that promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us.
Lord, this is an instance where we're not sure what the future holds. Lord, just a couple weeks ago, we never would have imagined that we'd be having a service in the fashion that we are this morning. But yet, we're so thankful for the ability to meet, to be able to use the gifts that you've given to us with digital devices, to be able to meet in such a way. Lord, I pray that you'd use it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one that is listening, Lord, that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, that we'd learn to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James challenges each and every one of us there in chapter 1, verse 22. Father, we turn the remainder of this time over to you. We're so thankful for the blessing and song. May our hearts really, truly have an attitude of worship. Lord, I know you want to meet with each and every one of us. And Lord, I ask that you do so, but I know many times that's not due to the lack on your part, it's the lack on our part, our willingness to open ourselves to where you can. So Father, I just pray that you'd use it, and all these things we ask, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of you are familiar with the story of the book of Job. Job, up to this point, has lost all that he had. He's lost his family, in just a matter of moments, he's lost his family. He's lost all of his earthly or his material possessions. And then even leading up to the book of, or chapter 38 here in the book of Job, we realize that Job has lost, or at least been wrongfully judged by many of his, what we would deem seeming, friends. And finally in chapter 8, there's these questions going back and forth. Job and his friends are reasoning about who God is. Finally, God intervenes here in chapter 38. He intervenes in such a way that he speaks to Job directly. Now, he's not answering Job's questions directly, necessarily, but he is providing some perspective. And so for us this morning, as we look through Job 38, 40, and then 42, I hope that we can glean some perspective from God's word this morning. Look at verses 1 through 3 there in Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." Here's what God is saying. He intervenes. He initially strikes Job with a question. "Job, answer me this. Who are you to question me? Who are you to question me? What knowledge," as you see there, this latter part of verse 2, "by words without knowledge, what knowledge do you have, do you possess, that puts you in a position to question God Almighty? Who are you to question the creator of this universe? Who are you to question an omniscient God, a God who knows everything?" And then he continues on, verse 3, "Gird up now thy loins like a man." In other words, brace yourself. I have another question coming your way. That next question is actually found in verse 4. Follow along with me there. "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it?" In other words, he's asking, "All right, Job, step back. I want you to brace yourself. Stand like a man. Here you are questioning me. Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I created the earth?" And then in verse 5, he follows up, "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it?" He's saying, "Hey, did you determine its dimensions? Did you determine its boundaries? And did you determine how it would operate?" What God is doing here for Job is something that we can all learn from. God immediately brings Job back to the reality that, "Hey, Job, there is no comparison between me and you. There is no comparison between God and man." And just like Job, our understanding is so pathetic, once again, next to an omniscient and all-knowing God. It's almost like the young child who came to her mother complaining that her stomach hurt. And her mom reached out and said, "Oh, honey, I know exactly what's wrong." Her stomach had been gurgling a little bit. She said, "Your stomach is empty." All right? She said, "You just need to get something in it and you'll be fine." Well, about a week later, they were in a conversation with the pastor of their local church. And in that moment, the pastor happened to just mention, "Man, I've been battling a headache." Well, immediately, that young child decided to slip in a comment, "Oh, pastor, I know what's wrong. Your head is empty." Your head is empty. All you need to do is just get something in it and you'll be fine. Boy, oh boy, is there some amazing truths in that little short story. Sometimes our mind is filled, but it's not filled with the right things. We don't have the right thinking. We don't have the right perspective. Just as Job here did not have the right perspective. He had a temporal perspective. His mind, however, needed to be filled with an eternal perspective. His focus was on trying to grasp an answer to all of his questions. But in the meantime, God's going to help him out. No, I want you to grasp who I really am. That's what Job was lacking. He had a temporal perspective, but he wasn't focusing on who his God was. Listen to a couple verses. Back in chapter 26, verse 14, the latter part of that verse, it says, "The thunder of his power, who can understand?" We can't grasp it. And then you might see just on the page next to you, or you might be able to turn over a page, chapter 37, verse 5. "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he," note this, "which he cannot comprehend." Which we cannot comprehend. Who can know the ways of the Lord? Job will soon discover something once again that applies to all of us. Who are we to question an almighty God? Hosea 14:9 reiterates this same thought. It says, "Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them." Note this, "For the ways of the Lord are right." Then he continues, "The just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." In other words, instead of this phrase, "Who is wise and he shall understand these things," let's replace it, let's make it a little more personal. Who can understand and make sense what's going on around us? Who can grasp even the gravity of what this coronavirus may cause? What does the end result even look like for us? All of these are questions that are just unknown, something that we don't understand. But the ways of the Lord are right, just as it says there in Hosea 14:9. See, for us, we have such a limited perspective. We have such a limited understanding. We're almost like the man sitting under a walnut tree. Here he's philosophizing about something that he just didn't quite understand. He's looking over as he's sitting under this walnut tree and he sees a pumpkin. How is it that a pumpkin grows on such a tiny vine? And yet this walnut is attached to such a large tree. And so here he is just contemplating the situation, you know, deep in thought. And as he's philosophizing about it, all of a sudden a walnut falls on the tree, nails him in the head. Of course, it causes some pain. And he states, "Man, I am so glad there aren't pumpkins up there. I am so glad there aren't pumpkins up there." See, here's the thing. Things don't always make sense to us, especially in the moment. But for the believer, we have to understand they don't have to. They don't have to make sense to us because we're not in control. For the believer, as we know our theme verse for this year, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. See, we're called to follow the paths of the Lord, even though we may not understand them. Because we know, once again, there in Hosea 14:9, the ways of the Lord are right. The ways of the Lord are right. Because of the trial surrounding Job's life, his thinking had become clouded, and he had not yet grasped the concept of what God was trying to teach him. Now, turn over just a page or two, Job chapter 40. We can't read all of the, in the time that we have, we can't read all of these next four chapters leading up to Job 42, but I do want us to look at a few verses just for sake of perspective in Job chapter 40. Let's look at the first four verses, all right? "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth," that word reprove also gives the idea of rebuke. "He that rebukes God, let him answer it." This is Job's response. Job answered the Lord there in verse 3, following verse 4, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." Job here at this point, all right, he at least understands that he should no longer question God, but he hasn't really fully grasped this aspect of truth. We'll see that here in chapter 42 momentarily. But Job here at least understood, hey, it's time for me to cover my mouth and listen. It's time for me just to step back, understand that you're the one that I need to be listening to. There are things that I haven't grasped, things that are too wonderful for me, as we're going to see here momentarily in chapter 42. Now, once again, if it's just a page or two, go to chapter 42. We're going to pick up there. We're going to draw our outline and finish out here in this last chapter of the book of Job, because here, Job finally comes to a better understanding. I want to just draw out three quick concepts, the first of which we're going to see here in the first five verses. The first five verses, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. The first concept I want us to see from these first five verses has already been stated in the preliminaries for this service. God is in control. God is in control. There he says in verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that God cannot do. Man, we can take so much from just that short snippet of a verse. We can rest in God's care knowing that he's in control. There's nothing outside of his perfect will and plan. And once again, we can't see everything from the last four chapters in the time that we have, but I encourage you, maybe even at the end, I'll give you guys some homework. There's a family. You can read through these four chapters leading up to 42, and that'll give you some perspective, just revealing God's complete omnipotence in every situation. The fact that not only is he an all-knowing God, he's an all-powerful God too. God is in control. So we know God can't do everything. And then he finishes out verse 2, that no thought can be withholden from thee. That idea of thought, same thing we find in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That idea of thoughts, maybe you can even find it in your notes there if you have a commentary Bible. Thoughts also gives the idea of purposes or plans. So that's what's being relayed in understanding this concept that God is in control. Job continues by understanding that God's purposes and his plans cannot be thwarted. In other words, no man can oppose or no man can prevent God's plans. So something that we can grasp from that, even though things may be outside our control, even though I can't order toilet paper online, even though I can't go to the grocery store or a retail store and find toilet paper, even though I can't find hand sanitizer and soap to wash my hands, hey, even though that's outside of my control, God is in control. God has a perfect plan. This is no surprise to him. This is something that he's implemented, and this is not outside of, once again, his control. But I want you to step back and just walk through some different aspects of Scripture and just think about how that principle is just laid out and permeated really through Scripture. Think about the life of Joseph. Remember when his brothers became envious of him and they developed this plan to sell him into slavery? Let me ask you, was that outside of God's plan? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were taken from their homes to go into the land of a wicked king, a king who would eventually command everybody to bow down to him, making himself God, the same thing that even Lucifer himself struggled with, all right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are put in a position where, hey, we can serve God or we can serve this temporary evil wicked king. Was that outside of God's control? When they took that stand and they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, not knowing if God was going to spare their lives or not, but they were going to be cast into a fiery furnace, let me ask you, was that outside of God's control? When Moses, Aaron, and the Israelites came to the Red Sea, here they just left Egypt, they've just experienced the 10 plagues. Was that outside of God's control? They were in a situation where here it's the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is following close behind. These are trained warriors. Once again, was that outside of God's control? See, in each of these instances, their faith would be challenged. But in the end, we realize they would understand, just as Job does here in verse 2, God is in control. Following there in verses 6 through 9, we learn another concept. So follow along with me. Excuse me. Verses 6 through 9. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Here's the reason, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right. But my servant Job has, he says, there in the ending of verse 7. Look at verse 8. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams. Go to my servant Job. Offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And note this, my servant Job shall pray for you. He's going to be the person that's going to be interceding on their behalf. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly. In other words, for not portraying God in the right way. And that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job has. Verse 9, so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. The second concept we see here in these four verses, verses 6 through 9, God will be exalted. God will be exalted. We know God's in control. Next we learn God will be exalted. For Job, once he had a better understanding of who God is, he repented for his lack of perspective and his lack of faith. And in that moment, he exalted God to the position that he had. Now I want you to go back, verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. All right, he's starting to grasp. He's starting to get a taste of what's going on here. Things that are too wonderful for me, which I knew not, things that I couldn't comprehend. God, I had no idea what you were doing in that moment. But God, now I realize that you're in control. And because of that, he says in verse 6, I abhor myself. We find his repentant spirit. He puts himself in a situation of dust and ashes. In other words, Job came to a point where there was no more questioning why God allowed any of these trials to happen to him. He didn't question God, and beyond that, there was no longer a demanding God to answer his questions. Two wonderful things that we can learn from that, but finally, I think the thing that we struggle with the most is Job didn't give any excuses either. All right, he didn't question God. He no longer demanded from God, and he's no longer giving excuses. That's the trap that many times we ourselves fall into, isn't it? Yeah, we find ourselves in the position where we give all sorts of justifications. Well, God, you don't understand all the people around me. Or God, you don't understand in that moment, you know, there was no other choice that I had. I think we give excuses. Job isn't giving any excuses. He's just merely repenting. He understands, God, you're in control. He understands, God, you will be exalted. All right? Job's just stepped back. He gave God the praise which was due to him. And see, here's the thing. That's the ideal situation. It's ideal that God is exalted freely. But here's something I want us to understand. See, God's going to be exalted whether that happens freely or not. Whether that's voluntarily or involuntarily, God will be exalted. Hey, see, look at what happened in verses 8 and 9 that we just read. Here we have Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They're put in a position where God is, they're exalting God, but in humility, they're having to do it on his terms rather than their own. Just like in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, it prophesies about the end times, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now, he's merely just repeating what Isaiah said in chapter 55 and verse 23. But notice that God will be exalted. As I live, every knee shall bow to me. All right? Every tongue shall confess that he is God Almighty. God will be exalted. Make no mistake about it. And know this, in the meantime, something that we hopefully learn from Job's life, something that he learned, God gives each of us that choice. It's something that we can freely do. We can freely choose to exalt God, or we'll be put in a situation where someday at the judgment seat, we'll exalt God on his terms. We can either choose to worship him for who he is now, or we can be forced to do it later. The choice is yours. That's part of the free will that God's given us. But I want you to know, God will be exalted. And in conclusion, or at least the last point that I want to draw out from chapter 42 here, we come to our last truth that I want us to see, all right? First off, we realize God is in control. There's nothing outside of his plan. None of this is a surprise to him. Next, we learn that God will be exalted. Finally, as we close out the chapter, we'll learn that God will always provide. God will always provide. God will always meet your every need. Now, before we actually look at the verses in the remaining of the chapter, let's look at God's provision even up to this point of chapter 42. First, as we've already seen, Job understands that God's in control, so God, in essence, is providing for him by giving him perspective. He's giving him understanding. Once again, there in verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. All right? So here he's, Job stepping back. Okay, you ask, who is questioning your wisdom, God? Clearly, I was talking about things that I knew nothing about. Clearly, it was things that was just too great and wonderful for me to comprehend. See, he understood. Once again, Isaiah 55, if you look earlier in that chapter, verse 9, says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Once again, Job's understanding, God provided this perspective that he gained was not his ability to grasp what was going on. All right, he didn't understand all that was taking place, but he did understand who God was. If you look back, Genesis chapter 22, God asked Abraham to do something that is just unfathomable for us. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, the one son who was guaranteed to fulfill the promise that God had given him earlier, that, hey, in this child, you will have as many people come from this child, as many generations as the stars, there are stars in the sky. All right, now we get a little perspective from Hebrews chapter 11, what was going on through in Abraham's mind during this time. He never questioned God. He didn't fully understand what was going to take place, and we knew that from Hebrews 11 because he stepped back and he understood in that moment that, yes, I need to sacrifice my son. But he assumed that God would raise him from the dead. In that moment, once again, he didn't know what God was doing, but he trusted that God would provide. See, it'll be the same for us. God may not allow us to comprehend all that he has planned or even what he is doing, especially in the moment. But hopefully in that moment and as an end result, God will provide us a better understanding of who he is. God will provide. Are you willing to gain a better understanding of who this God is? Then we see another aspect of God's provision, and that's found in the conclusion of this chapter. Once again, before we read it, I want to give us two instances that God will provide. First, well, no, he's already provided understanding. Now we're going to see two instances where his physical needs are being provided for. All right, many times it's easy to see the second one, and we forget the first instance in which he was provided for. God provided during the trial. God met all of Job's needs. Now, it's hard for us to see that in the moment because when you're finishing Job chapter 1, even into chapter 2, okay, wow, what is going on? If this is a perfect man, if this is someone who's upright in God's eyes, if this is someone who has hated evil, why would he be put in such a situation? Job didn't even understand that. Once again, in a matter of moments, he lost his family. He lost all his earthly possessions. Now remember, Satan, he's roaming the earth. God says, "How'st thou considered my servant Job?" Well, the devil says, of course he's going to praise you. Of course he's going to give you the glory because of all that you've given to him. God immediately responds, hey, take it all away, but don't touch his body. Chapter 2, he opens it up. The devil comes back. Well, yeah, it makes sense, you know, because I wasn't allowed to touch his body, God. You know, even though I've taken away all these material possessions, even though I've taken away the family, the reality is he's still going to obey you because of his physical health. God says, okay, you can touch his body, but you're not allowed to kill him. Did Job understand in the moment? Absolutely not, but God sustained him through that trial. God gave him exactly what he needed. He protected his life, and he saw him through. Even though, especially in the moment, it seemed like God was giving Job way more than he could bear, God continued to sustain him through the trial. So God will provide understanding. God will provide during the trial. And then we come to the conclusion of the chapter. Let's start reading in verse 10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. It continues, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He doubled his material possessions with 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, as well as 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He brought his family back, he brought his health back, and he brought his material possessions back. And once again, for us, we know the story of Job. Many of us have read through that book many, many times. And so when we read from chapter 1 to chapter 42, we get the complete perspective. We understand what God's doing in the end, but it's not so evident if you stopped at chapter 3. It doesn't seem like God is providing it all after Job loses everything. As a matter of fact, for Job, it doesn't seem like he's providing it all when he comes to a point where he curses the very day of his birth. It is better that I am dead rather than be alive. For a while, it didn't seem as if Job was even going to make it. And you know, that's the trap that we can fall into if we're not careful. Right now, we're surrounded with something that we have not witnessed before. And in all honesty, we can only speculate what God may be doing during this time. Is this a time of his judgment? I don't know. I can't fully answer that question for you. Is this a time of his judgment, or is this a time that he's going to use to strengthen God's children and also draw others unto himself? Now, I hope and pray that that is your heart's desire. I hope you'll pray along with me and the rest of the staff that God would use this as a time to draw others to himself and to continue to mature Christians. Once again, we may not understand everything that's going on around us. It may not make sense to us, but we know what the outcome's going to be, and I do know that in the meantime, God is in control. God will be exalted, and God will provide. It's amazing, there's not been a time in Grace Baptist 60-year history that we've met in this fashion, and we were even talking in the office this last week. Not too many years ago, if something like this had happened, we wouldn't have had the technology to be able to meet like this. And so we're so thankful for the social interaction that we're able to have this morning, for the tools of a webcast, the tools of social media. You know, those are great things for us to be able to stay connected. But let me challenge you, or let me encourage you during this time, don't let those two aspects, those two means, those two methods be the thing that consumes you and keeps you from learning what God has for you in this moment. See, we can spend so much time on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and all these other social media aspects that we almost forget God. We may even be talking about God. We may even receive challenges from other people. But once again, I don't have a relationship with God through another pastor. I don't have a relationship with God through my wife. I can go to God directly in prayer. I trust that that's what you're going to do in these moments. And at least, hopefully we find ourselves in a position like Job in chapter 40, where we stop philosophizing once again in our own finite minds. We take some time to step back and just listen to God. God, what would you have for me in this moment? God, is there someone around me that you want me to minister to their needs? God, is there someone in the church that I need to reach out to and just provide a word of encouragement? Ask God. Just listen. Be willing to step back. And I encourage you, even now as a family, take the next few minutes while your Bibles are open. Start there in Job chapter 38. Read 38, 39, 40, and 41. I promise it won't take more than 10, 15 minutes at best. And that's maybe even if your children are reading the passages. But read through and gain your own perspective as to who God is. Once again, God is in control. This is no surprise to him. He knew that we were going to meet this way even before we were born. God wants to be exalted, and he will be exalted, and God will provide and meet for your every need. Take comfort in that thought. And just in closing, I want to give you a thought, something that I had read from Augustine some time ago. He talks about the past, the present, and the future. We count on God's mercy for our past mistakes, on God's love for our present needs, and finally, God's sovereignty for our future. Take rest in that thought. God is in control. Let's pray. I'll mention just a couple things, and then we'll dismiss for the morning. Once again, thank you so much for the opportunity of inviting us into your home this morning, allowing us to be able to minister to your needs, hopefully. This will be recorded and will be posted on the website, as well as we'll put a YouTube link that you can follow it on YouTube, and that'll be for ongoing services, at least as long as we have to meet in this fashion. But let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, for the means to be able to still meet this morning, even with the restrictions that have been placed on us. Lord, I pray that we would continue to operate in wisdom. Lord, not for fear of man, but just in wisdom of protecting our own. Lord, there's a lot of decisions to be made, and Lord, a lot of this has just come very suddenly. It's very hard for us to grasp all that's going on, but may we realize once again, you're in control. May we freely exalt you, and we realize that you will provide and meet our every need. We can take and rest on those promises. Lord, we're so thankful for them. So thankful for the life of Job. Lord, he went through way more than I guarantee all of us combined have went through. Lord, I just pray that this would be a time of growth. Lord, this would be a time of building for Grace Baptist Church. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, just don't forget, this coming Wednesday, we're going to meet again, live stream, 7 o'clock, same method right there on the website. Pastor Dave's going to continue his series on Psalm 23, so we hope you can join us then. If you can't make it at that 7 o'clock, we'll put the recording so you can follow up with it later. Teens, those in Grace Baptist Youth Group, you're going to meet on Facebook Live. If you're just tuning in with us, Facebook Live, you're going to go to your group page, that's GT or Grace Teens, so we invite you to join us via that method, 6:45. Nathan Bushy, I know, has spent an hour or so, and hopefully we're prayerfully considering some other methods with which we might get together. So let me encourage you, continue in faith, be encouraged, stay in prayer. We are still a body of believers, even though we're not able to meet like we typically do. This is just for a short season. We pray, we hope, and God is in control. Thank you so much for joining us once again. You are dismissed.